All right, so let's dive into this.
So good.
You sent us Rich Dad's Guide to Becoming Rich Without Cutting Up Your Credit Cards. And I have to say, some of these ideas about wealth, they really challenge the usual advice we hear. You know,
It's true. It really does.
setting cut up your cards and live frugally.
Yeah, the book comes right out and contradicts that,
Yeah.
which is kind of refreshing in a way.
Yeah, exactly.
What's interesting is how it digs into the mindset behind that advice. You know, is frugality always the answer?
That's a good question
Yeah.
because it makes this argument that just cutting up your cards might not solve the real problem
Right.
and could even lead to this cheap mindset that persists even after you achieve some financial success.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the long-term impact
Yeah.
of our money habits, not just the immediate savings.
That's a crucial point.
Yeah.
I think the book uses this really good anecdote about a dress shop owner that's constantly dealing with customers who return dresses
Okay.
after wearing them for a night.
So they're just.
It's a great illustration of how being cheap can backfire in ways that go far beyond just money.
All right, so let's unpack this story a little bit.
Yeah.
What happened with the dress shop owner?
Well, the shop owner is frustrated because customers are basically renting dresses for a night, buying them, wearing them, and then returning them for a refund. And it really highlights those hidden costs of a cheap mindset. These customers might be saving money in the short term, but they're damaging their reputation, potentially harming the business, eroding trust.
It really makes you think about the ripple effects of our actions, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just about the individual transaction,
Yeah.
it's about the larger context.
Exactly. And
And
that's a theme that kind of runs throughout the book. It
yeah.
challenges us to consider the long-term consequences of our financial choices,
Yeah.
both for ourselves and for those around us.
Okay, so how does this idea of a cheap mindset then play out in broader financial decisions?
Okay.
Does the book give any other examples beyond the dress shop?
It definitely does. The book dives into this idea of personal financial statements being like a report card for your life after school. So it argues that traditional education often falls short when it comes to preparing us for the real world of money.
Instead of just grades on tests, it's
Right.
like we need a scorecard for
Exactly.
how we're handling our income and expenses, assets and debts.
Precisely. And it made me think about all those practical money skills that we don't necessarily learn in school, things like budgeting, investing, understanding credit, even negotiating.
And Robert Kiyosaki,
Yeah.
the author, really drives this point home
Right.
with a personal story.
Yeah.
He talks about almost failing sophomore year
Yeah.
because of his poor writing skills.
I know, right?
I wouldn't have guessed that about a best-selling author.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's fascinating, though, how he turned that failure into a pivotal learning experience, realizing he needed help with writing, led him to his best friend's father, who became his rich dad mentor and taught him about financial literacy. And this ultimately shaped his path to success, both financially and as a writer.
So it's not just about avoiding failure then, it's about learning from those setbacks and
Absolutely.
using them as springboards for growth.
Yeah, and that ties into another key idea from the book, the need for education that goes beyond traditional schooling. Kiyosaki emphasizes the importance of continuous learning, especially when it comes to finances, in a world that's constantly changing.
He makes this comparison
Yes.
between the lag times in
Oh.
different industries. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So tech and aerospace industries have a lag time of 1 to 2 years,
Okay.
but education and construction lag behind by almost 50.
It's mind-boggling when you think about it.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
So while the world is evolving at lightning speed, the systems we rely on for education are moving at a snail's pace.
Right.
So what does that mean for us in terms of financial education?
Wow.
How do we adapt to this rapid pace of change?
That's where the book draws a parallel to Moore's Law. You know, that observation about the exponential growth of technology. Kiyosaki suggests that just like technology, the financial landscape is evolving rapidly. We need to prioritize learning agility and the ability to adapt quickly over just acquiring static knowledge.
So it's not just about what we know,
Right.
it's how we learn and adapt to
Exactly.
new information.
And this actually ties into the book's differentiation between good debt and bad debt.
Okay.
So it argues that wealthy people don't necessarily shy away from debt entirely.
Mm-hmm.
They use good debt strategically to acquire assets that generate income.
Now, that sounds kind of counterintuitive to how most of us think about debt.
Yeah, it does challenge conventional thinking.
Yeah.
But the book provides a great example of this with Kiyosaki's Porsche.
Oh, yeah.
He bought his dream car by financing it with income from a rental property.
Hold on. So he used debt to buy an asset.
Yes.
And then used the income from that asset to pay off the debt.
That's the idea.
Wow.
It illustrates the power of leveraging good debt to build wealth.
So it's not about accumulating debt for the sake of spending.
Right.
It's about using it strategically to acquire those income-generating assets.
Uh-huh. Okay.
To ultimately increase your net worth.
So it's a calculated risk
with
the potential for a significant payoff.
Precisely. But it's crucial to understand the difference between good debt that helps you build wealth
and bad debt that drags you down financially.
Oh, man. I'm already seeing how this book is making us question.
I know, me too.
Some deeply ingrained beliefs about money.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. But before we get too deep into good debt versus bad debt, I just want to circle back to something you mentioned earlier, the cash flow quadrant.
Yes.
It sounds like this is central to the book's philosophy.
Yeah.
Can you explain that a bit more?
Of course.
For our listeners who might not be familiar with it.
So the cash flow quadrant is a model that Kiyosaki uses to represent four different approaches to earning income and building wealth.
Okay.
So each quadrant represents a different mindset and financial strategy. Employee, self-employed, business owner, and investor.
Okay, so it's not just about how much you make.
Right, yeah.
It's how you make the money.
Exactly. So employees trade their time for money working for someone else's business.
Okay.
Self-employed people, they own their jobs. They often have more control, but they're still limited by the hours they can work.
So even if they're successful, their income is still directly tied to their time and effort.
Exactly. Now, business owners create systems that work for them, allowing them to leverage other people's time and talents.
Okay, so they're not trading their time directly for that money.
And then investors make their money work for them, earning passive income from assets.
Oh, wow.
Like real estate or stocks.
So the quadrant you're in really shapes your entire perspective on money and wealth.
The book argues that people stuck in the employee or self-employed quadrants often struggle to achieve true financial freedom because they're limited by trading time for money.
Right. Yeah.
Moving to the business owner or investor quadrant requires a fundamental shift in mindset and strategy.
It's about thinking beyond just working for a paycheck.
Exactly.
And focusing on building assets that generate income even while you sleep.
Precisely, the book argues that to achieve real financial freedom, we need to move beyond the limitations of trading our time for money and focus on building assets that generate income regardless of our direct effort.
This all sounds great in theory.
Yeah.
But where do we even begin?
Okay.
Does the book offer any practical steps?
Absolutely. For making this shift. It provides a clear plan called Take Control of Your Cash Flow.
I like it.
And the first step is to confront your current financial reality.
Okay.
No matter how uncomfortable it might be.
No more burying our heads in the sand.
Yeah.
So we're back to those personal financial statements.
You got it. But the book doesn't just tell you to create one and leave it at that.
Okay.
It provides a series of questions to help you analyze your financial habits.
Yeah.
And identify areas for improvement.
Ooh, give us some examples.
Okay. Do you routinely pay your bills late?
Oh.
Have you ever hidden a bill from your spouse or partner? Have you neglected essential repairs or maintenance because of insufficient funds?
Right.
Have you bought something recently that you didn't need and couldn't afford?
Okay. Those are hitting close to home for a lot of people.
They are, aren't they?
Myself included.
But that's the point.
Yeah.
The book encourages us to be brutally honest with ourselves about our spending habits and identify those unconscious patterns that might be holding us back financially.
So once we've faced those hard truths and created our financial statement, what's next?
The next step is to figure out where you currently stand in the cash flow quadrant. So are you primarily an employee, self-employed business owner or investor?
So we're pinpointing our starting point on the map.
Exactly. And then you envision where you want to be in 5 years. So which quadrant aligns with your long-term goals? Do you want to remain an employee, build your own business, or start investing?
It's like setting our destination. And the cash flow quadrant is our navigation system.
Perfect
I
analogy.
like it.
And once you have that destination in mind,
Yeah.
you can start creating a cash flow management plan
Okay.
to get you there.
All right.
The book stresses the importance of tracking your income and expenses,
Okay.
creating a budget and sticking to it.
That sounds like pretty standard financial advice,
Right.
but with that rich dad twist of
Exactly.
aligning it with your quadrant goals.
Exactly. It's not just about cutting back on spending randomly. It's about making conscious choices that support your long-term vision for financial freedom.
So we're not just budgeting to save money, we're budgeting to invest in our future selves.
That's a great way to put it.
I like that.
And the book gets into the nitty-gritty of budgeting, so it provides practical tips like starting to pay all your bills on time to avoid those late fees, finding a credit card with a lower interest rate, consolidating debt, even stopping the use of ATMs that charge fees. Yeah, you're essentially paying to access your own money.
It's amazing how those seemingly small expenses
I know, right?
can add up
Yeah.
over time.
What about spending habits in general? Does the book address those?
Absolutely. It encourages readers
Okay.
to cultivate a habit of paying with cash whenever possible, using a credit card only for emergencies.
Yeah.
It's about becoming more mindful of where our money is
Oh,
going.
that's a challenge for me. I rely on credit cards for almost everything.
I understand it takes discipline and a conscious effort
Yeah.
to break those ingrained habits.
Yeah.
The book also emphasizes learning to resist impulse buys
Okay.
and shopping at wholesale clubs or discount stores to save money.
So it's not about depriving yourself, but about being intentional with those purchases.
And it even touches on negotiating better rates for insurance policies, being mindful of those small everyday expenses.
That can drain your budget without you even realizing it.
So it's this combination of smart financial strategies,
Yes.
intentional spending habits, and shifting our mindset about money.
Precisely. And it even touches on negotiating better rates for insurance policies, being mindful of those small everyday expenses that can drain your budget without you even realizing it.
So it's this combination of smart financial strategies,
Yes.
intentional spending habits, and shifting our mindset about money.
Precisely.
But what about getting out of debt?
Yeah.
I know the book doesn't advocate cutting up credit cards entirely,
Right.
but it does talk about eliminating that bad debt. What specific steps does it recommend?
It provides a very clear plan for tackling credit card debt, focusing on prioritizing the card with the highest interest rate first.
Okay, so focus on the biggest drain
Yes.
first.
You make minimum payments on the others while throwing as much as possible at that high interest debt.
Okay, that makes sense.
And then once you've paid off that first card, you roll that payment amount into the next card with the highest interest rate and so
I
on.
love that visual.
Yeah.
You're not just chipping away at the debt,
Right.
you're actively shrinking it.
It creates a snowball effect, gaining momentum as you pay off each card.
I love it. But what if you're in really dire straits,
Okay.
like drowning in debt kind of situation?
The book acknowledges that sometimes you need outside help. It recommends reaching out to resources like the National Foundation for Credit Counseling or Debtors Anonymous. These organizations offer support, guidance, and practical strategies for overcoming overwhelming debt.
It's comforting to know that those resources are available if
Yeah.
people need extra support.
It's a reminder that you don't have to navigate these challenges alone.
And ultimately, the book emphasizes
Yes.
that achieving financial freedom is a journey
Right.
that requires discipline, education, and a willingness to challenge conventional wisdom.
Absolutely.
It's not a quick fix, it's a process
Yeah.
of continuous learning and growth.
And that journey might lead us to unexpected places, both financially and personally.
Speaking of unexpected, one of the things that struck me about the book
Yeah.
was its emphasis on embracing change.
Yeah.
It argues that true financial success often requires
Right. Yeah.
a fundamental shift in mindset, not just a change in habits.
That's a key takeaway for
Yeah,
sure. It's
perfect.
not just about cutting back on lattes or clipping coupons.
Right.
It's about examining our deep-seated beliefs about money and wealth.
And the book uses the cash flow quadrant to illustrate those different mindsets.
Exactly. Remember how we talked about the employee and self-employed quadrants
Yeah.
being limited by trading time for money?
Right.
The book argues that people stuck in those quadrants
Yeah.
often struggle to achieve financial freedom.
Okay.
Because their primary focus is on earning a paycheck, not building wealth.
So even if they get a raise or work longer hours,
right,
their income is still capped by the number of hours in a day.
Right. And the book contrasts that with the business owner and investor quadrants,
yeah,
where the focus is on building systems
right.
that generate income even while you sleep.
So passive income is the key to breaking free.
It's a crucial part of the equation.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the type of income.
Mm.
It's about the underlying mindset.
Okay.
People in the business owner and investor quadrants
yeah.
think differently about money.
Okay.
They see opportunities where others see obstacles.
Oh.
They're more willing to take calculated risks,
mm-hmm.
embrace change, and
yeah.
think outside the box.
And the book has this really interesting story about this, right?
Yeah.
Something about toilets.
Oh, yes. Kiyosaki describes this radio interview
right.
where he was trying to explain the concept of leverage and good debt.
Okay.
Using real estate as an example.
Okay.
He talked about how a simple investment in a small apartment building
could potentially generate significant wealth over time.
Sounds like a pretty solid strategy.
You'd think so, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. But the radio host couldn't get past the idea of toilets.
Yeah.
He was fixated on the potential headaches
okay.
of dealing with plumbing issues
oh.
and tenant complaints.
So he got so caught up in the minutia
exactly.
that he missed the big picture.
Exactly. And the book argues that this is a common pitfall.
Yeah.
Fear and limiting beliefs prevent us from seeing and seizing opportunities.
Right.
We focus on the potential downsides.
Yeah.
Instead of the potential rewards.
So we need to train ourselves to think bigger.
Yeah.
Be open to new ideas
mm.
and not get bogged down by those details.
Right. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah. How do we actually make that mental shift?
Well, Kiyosaki believes that financial education is key.
Okay.
He argues that if we're taught about money and investing
mm-hmm.
from a young age,
mm-hmm.
we're more likely to develop
yeah.
those empowering mindsets and habits
yeah.
that lead to financial freedom. So it's about planting those seeds early.
Right.
Giving people the tools and the knowledge they need
mm-hmm.
to make smart financial decisions throughout their lives.
Exactly. But what about those of us
yeah.
who didn't get that early financial education?
Right. Are we destined to be stuck in the employee and self-employed quadrants forever?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Okay.
It's never too late to start learning.
Okay.
And changing your financial trajectory.
Yeah.
The book emphasizes that we all have the capacity to learn,
mm.
grow, and adapt.
Yeah.
And it acknowledges that change can be scary.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to our finances.
It's a huge leap of faith to question everything we thought we knew about money.
Right.
And start doing things differently.
That's why the book encourages us.
Yeah.
To overcome the fear of failure
mm-hmm.
and see mistakes as valuable learning experiences.
That's a recurring theme.
It is.
Throughout this book, it yeah. seems like.
Yeah. Embracing failure as part of the process.
Yeah. And Kiyosaki uses some pretty powerful examples.
Yes.
To illustrate this point, drawing parallels between the financial world
mm-hmm.
and his experiences.
Yes.
As a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Yes. He shares this really gripping story.
Okay.
About witnessing the resilience of soldiers.
Yeah.
Who continued fighting even in the face of unimaginable adversity.
Wow.
He uses this experience to highlight the incredible strength of the human spirit.
So the message is, if we can tap into that inner strength,
yes,
that resilience,
mm-hmm.
we can overcome any financial challenge.
Exactly. And it's crucial to surround ourselves
yes.
with supportive people
yeah.
who can encourage us and lift us up when we falter.
Yeah.
Kiyosaki stresses the importance of building a strong network
okay.
of mentors, advisors, and friends who believe in our vision and can help us stay the course.
It's a good reminder that we don't have to do this alone.
Right.
Seeking guidance and support can make the journey to financial freedom
mm-hmm.
less daunting.
Yeah.
And maybe even more enjoyable.
Absolutely. And ultimately, the book's message is one of empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
It encourages us to take control of our financial futures,
yeah.
challenge conventional wisdom,
yeah.
and create lives of abundance and freedom.
So what does this all mean?
Hmm.
This deep dive into Rich Dad's Guide has challenged us
yeah.
to look at wealth and financial freedom
mm-hmm.
from a whole new perspective.
Yeah, it's not just about pinching pennies.
Right.
It's about building financial literacy,
yeah.
leveraging good debt, and cultivating a resilient mindset.
And recognizing that achieving true financial freedom
yes.
is a multifaceted journey
right.
that requires a shift in mindset and continuous learning.
It's not a destination,
yeah.
but a lifelong pursuit of knowledge, growth, and empowerment.
And it's about challenging those limiting beliefs that might be holding us back.
Yeah.
And embracing those possibilities
right.
that come with taking control over finances.
Exactly. It's about recognizing that we all have the potential to achieve financial freedom.
Mm. Regardless of our background or current circumstances.
A final thought for you to ponder.
Okay.
Kiyosaki argues that financial education is crucial for success in today's world.
Yeah.
But what if schools don't provide adequate financial literacy programs?
Right.
What responsibility do individuals have to seek out this knowledge?
Mm.
What resources are available to help bridge that gap?
Those are excellent questions for all of us to consider as we continue on our own journeys toward financial freedom.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring.
Me too.
Until next time. It's really about personal growth and mindset shifts.
Yeah.
And being willing to challenge those deep-seated beliefs that might be holding us back.
Yeah, it's about taking ownership of our financial futures and recognizing that we have the power to create the lives we desire.
And Rich Dad's Guide doesn't shy away from the fact that this journey can be challenging.
You know, it talks about embracing failure as a learning opportunity, not something to be feared.
Right. It's about recognizing that setbacks are inevitable.
Yeah.
But they don't have to define us.
Right.
It's about learning from our mistakes, adjusting our course, and getting back on track.
And the book uses some powerful metaphors to illustrate this point.
It does.
Drawing parallels between the financial world and Kiyosaki's experiences as a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
That's right. He talks about the importance of having a backup plan, both in combat and in finance.
Oh, okay.
So in Vietnam, it meant having an escape route if things went wrong.
Right.
In the financial world, it means having multiple streams of income and a diversified investment portfolio.
So it's about not putting all our eggs in one basket.
Exactly.
And being prepared for the unexpected.
Right. And it's also about having the courage to take calculated risks.
Okay.
Kiyosaki argues that true financial success often requires stepping outside of our comfort zones.
Right.
And embracing uncertainty.
He makes the point that playing it safe might feel secure in the short term.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it can limit our growth
and
prevent us from achieving our full potential.
And that resonates with the book's overall message of empowerment and taking control.
Yeah.
You know, it's about recognizing that we have more agency than we might realize when it comes to shaping our financial destinies.
And part of that empowerment comes from surrounding ourselves with the right people. Right.
Absolutely. Kiyosaki emphasizes the importance of building a strong network of mentors, advisors, and like-minded individuals.
He talks about seeking guidance from those who have already achieved the level of success we aspire to.
Yeah, it's about finding people who can offer support, encouragement, and practical advice along the way.
Yeah, it's a good reminder that we don't have to figure this all out on our own. There's a wealth of knowledge and experience available if we're willing to reach out and connect.
And it's also about giving back.
Yeah.
And sharing our own knowledge and experiences as we progress on our journeys. You know, it's about creating a community of support and empowerment.
Yeah.
Where we can learn from each other and inspire each other to reach new heights.
I love that. So as we wrap up this deep dive into Rich Dad's Guide to Becoming Rich Without Cutting Up Your Credit Cards.
Okay.
What key takeaways do you think will resonate most with our listeners?
I think the biggest takeaway is that achieving financial freedom is a holistic journey that involves not just our finances, but our mindsets, our habits, and our relationships.
Yeah.
It's about challenging conventional wisdom, embracing lifelong learning, and building a life that aligns with our values and aspirations.
It's about recognizing that we have the power to create our own financial futures.
Right.
And that true wealth encompasses so much more than just money.
It's about living a life of abundance, purpose, and impact.
Well said. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
My pleasure.
We hope you found it insightful and inspiring. Until next time.